Today, we're going to look at another part of prayer and Jesus' life, and it's probably the one that you would not have expected before you came here. Jesus blessed children. Most of the time, when we look at children, we don't necessarily think, this is going to help my prayer life. Can I get an amen from the parents? Unless it's a, dear God, please help me now. But we don't truly expect that this is part of prayer. So that's something we're going to look at. An important thing to note before we start, though. He's got tears. Wow. It's okay, buddy. Mommy's going to come get you. Most people would think, oh, this is going to be like the nice family sermon, and this is for the families in the church. Honestly, that's not even my target group, so no. Others would have the idea of, well, this is a nice sermon for women, or for moms, or for married people. I just want to start with this. No, actually, this sermon is as much or more for single men as it is for anybody in this church. The reason why I say that is the man who said this to people, Jesus, was a single man, no kids. And the people he said it to were his disciples, who many of them were likely single men. This isn't just for the families in the church or for the moms and for the dads. So with that, let's get started. So what do children and prayer have to do with each other? Because that's not always the simplest thing. This weekend, we had a 48-hour prayer time, and Christina and I took a slot. We went out to Belgium, and we took David with us. We had a beautiful bike ride yesterday. But as we're sitting in there trying to pray and focus on God, there's this little kid that rolling around and sometimes crying and sometimes not. But Jesus seems to put those together, and the clue number one for us should have come from what is Jesus' most popular prayer, called the Lord's Prayer. We know of it. There are two times where we look at it in the Bible. One is in Matthew 6, another is in Luke 11. And in Matthew 6, he starts off leading into it by saying, okay, when you pray, don't do it to show off. Don't go out on a street corner, and that way you're being loud with people, but just go into a quiet place. Your Father sees you and knows that you're talking. And then he says, don't go babbling on and on and on like people who are trying to impress their gods. It's not that you have to say the right words the right number of times, and if you keep reciting the right mantra, then God will eventually hear you. He's saying, no, you don't have to do that because of what? Your Father knows what you need even before you ask. So this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. See, Jesus, when he's teaching his disciples how to pray, they came up and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he says, think of it from a child's mentality. Think of it as you're a child and God is your Father. A Father who knows what you need. He's not stupid. He's willing to provide for you. He's willing to protect you. So start that way. Our Father in heaven. Jesus would have been speaking Aramaic at the time, and if you've heard sermons about the Lord's Prayer, you've probably heard that this word, Father, is Abba in Aramaic. And it is a term of respect, but also affection. And it's used even today, still in some Middle Eastern places, and it's the word that a lot of kids learn as their very first word. Abba! Abba! It's pretty easy. I think they chose it so that it would be simple. And I think Jesus kind of was using that in his mind, that starting with prayer, you don't have to start with some fancy, difficult word. That first word you probably said as a kid, you start there. Start with a God who is our Father. And in that, learn to relate to God as a father and you as his child. Having David, when I think about David, the thing I want most is to have a relationship with this boy. I want to get to know him. I want him to get to know me. I want to talk about stuff. He didn't come out of Christine, and then I say, you know what I'm looking forward to? When you can start washing the dishes when you can start cleaning the house, when you can make sure that your room is nice and clean, when you can start using the toilet by yourself so I don't have to clean your diapers. I'm just waiting until that moment. That's actually not, I'm not so excited about that first. When that comes, yes, there'll be responsibility, but long before that, I just want to get to talk with him. And that moment when my son looks at me, and I can tell he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and then he just gets this big toothless. That is a great moment. Not because he said anything great, not because he did anything great, he simply, he knows who I am. Our Heavenly Father wants us to start childlike in prayer like that. And instead of making sure that you come up with the right words to say, sometimes just take the time to look at your Heavenly Father and smile at him, just like a child. And yes, there will be responsibilities and things that come along. As you grow, God will give you more work, but the relationship is the first part of it. The time where we're told of the Lord's Prayer in Luke, Jesus afterward, as he goes along, he says, the way with prayer is this. You ask, keep asking, receive, keep knocking, don't give up, keep going. Be like a persistent little kid who keeps trying to find out the way that the world works. And then he says, you men who are fathers, if your kid asks for a piece of bread, do you end up sticking in a stone instead and seeing what it'll be like when he chomps on that? No. If he asks for a piece of fish, I'm not going to go find a snake and give that to him instead. I had a friend last night over having dinner at our house, and we had caramel apples. And he said, oh, it's so fun times when people are going to come to your house and you take an onion and you put that in caramel instead and hand that to them, and then they bite in. Is that the way you're going to treat your kids? Maybe once or twice, just for the fun of it. But overall, that's not the way that you do it. And so Jesus says in Luke 11:13, and if you, though you are imperfect, though you are sinful people, but you know how to give your children good gifts, then don't you realize that your Heavenly Father will do at least as much and even more, and that he will give the best he has? He will give his Holy Spirit. My son at the moment isn't sitting around worrying, is daddy gonna give me a nice house to live in? Is mommy gonna feed me milk? There are times where he's like, where is it? I want it now. But it doesn't come out of worry. He's protected and he's provided for. And we as humans can take some of that picture and go, yes, we screw up as parents. We're not perfect, but those best ideals that we have in parenthood are at least the beginning of a picture of what God is like and the way that we should come to him as well, to be childlike in prayer. So a childlike relationship is completely crucial for this. Here's the reason why I say that. So Jesus, one time, he was walking on along a road and his disciples were following, and he hears them talking behind him, and he knows that what they're talking about is, so which one of us is the greatest? Who gets the best seat of authority? Who's the one who's in charge? And after they finally get to the place where they are, Jesus says, so what were you guys talking about on the road?
We were talking about who would be the greatest.
So Jesus calls his disciples to him. He sits down and has a child come up and stand next to him. And he says, believe me, unless you change your whole outlook and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Believe me, unless you can change your whole outlook, come with a childlike mentality, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. He says we have to be willing to do that, to go back to the very beginning, to come like a little child. And then he says this incredible thing after it. He says that what you have done for one of these little ones, you've done for me. Jesus identifies himself with a child and says, you want to do something to help me? You want to show that you love me? How do you treat the little kids around you? And again, this wasn't something that he just said to parents. We don't even know that any of them were parents. We do know that one had a mother-in-law, which probably means that he had someone telling him, when are you going to give me grandkids, if he didn't have them yet. But most of these would have been teenagers, maybe early 20s, likely weren't married, wouldn't have had kids yet. And Jesus was saying this to men who were manly men. They were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they had other jobs, one was a revolutionary. And Jesus is looking at these men and saying, you know what? Learn to be childlike. And while you're at it, learn to like children. And then Matthew 18:6, he says the reverse of it in a very harsh way, where he says, if you do something that leads one of these little ones astray, it's better for you to just have a millstone tied around your neck and get thrown into the ocean. And that, as a parent, can be very convicting. It shouldn't just be for parents, though. What is it you show to little children? Because if you're teaching her how to be angry, how to hate other people, it's better for you just to go jump in the moss and get it over with now. If you're teaching children how to be prejudiced or racist, if you're teaching them how to worry, how to complain, how to grumble about everything that happens. Jesus is very hard with that. He says, don't do that. These children are so incredibly important. If you're teaching your kid to lie because they're seeing you lying to people, teaching them how to break promises, how to not be good on their word, how to give up on other people, how to be selfish, is that what you show them? No, I don't have time for this. I would rather do something for me instead. Jesus says, these little ones are important. He says things like, the angels that watch over them, they're right in front of God and they see his face. He says that God doesn't want a single one of them, not a single one of them, to be lost. And this isn't a Jesus who isn't manly. Jesus could be a man. He could be harsh when he had those moments. But he was also one who loved children and cared and treated them like they were worthwhile. And he used them to show, you know what, your education, that isn't the most important thing to me. Your good family background, Your shame, your money, whatever it is, whatever you bring to the table, that's not what's most important. Come with a childlike mentality when you pray. And show love to the kids. There's a musician named Stephen Curtis Chapman. He's a big advocate for adoption. And he wrote a song called What Now? And it says this. I saw the face of Jesus in a little orphan girl. She was standing in a corner on the other side of the world. And I heard the voice of Jesus gently whisper to my heart and say, didn't you say you wanted to find me? Well, here I am. And here you are. So what now? What will you do now that you found me? What will you do with this treasure you found? I know I may not look like what you expected, but if you remember, this is right where I said I would be. You found me. What now? What will you do? How will you treat children? Will you even care and give them your time? If you want to find the face of Jesus, children can be a good place to start. Maybe sometimes you feel like you come in here and you don't get anything because Jesus was next door and you were supposed to be finding him there, serving him there, loving him there, playing with him there, singing songs to him there. This week, I was talking with Michal And in our conversation, we were just talking about things that we'd love to see happen in our church and mentality. And this idea of we don't just want to do church and be good at doing church, but we want to be able to start out and just go, Daddy in heaven, what is it that you want us to do? How should we act? And he said, you know, it's hard to have that willingness to start over. And I said to him, you know, it seems easy to me to just have children and teach them well from the start than to have to try to change the mentality of an adult. And when I said that, I just felt like God said to me, and it was just, boom, why do you think I said you needed to come like a child? Okay, what does that mean to even come like a child? I've heard sermons that try to make long things about the greatness of children and what they do, and children are great, and children have their bad points. One thing that I can say that Jesus had used was, be willing to humble yourself like a child, but also being in the process of learning. Children continue to learn. Even if they say, I already know it all, I don't need to learn anything, they'll still be learning and growing, and they'll be watching things, and they'll be paying attention. And often when we reach some kind of stage that we get to, they're like, I really do know it all, and we just stop being willing to grow. We stop being willing to challenge some of those basic assumptions we had about life or basic assumptions we had about ourselves that may have been wrong. And in coming like a child, we come not with an open mind to every idea as though everything is true, but with this ability and a willingness to learn. There's more stuff I don't know, and I'm interested in this world that has been created. I'm intrigued at everything around me, and oh, there's people, and I want to look at them. And a child's just curiosity. Do we have that kind of curiosity when it comes to God, or do we feel like we pretty much have all of the picture put together? Yeah, there are a few pieces of the puzzle missing, but there's nothing new or exciting to find out about God. We got it down. I don't think we do. And in each of the recorded biographies of Jesus where it has these two stories, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it has that time where Jesus takes a kid, has the child stand next to him and says, be like a child. And then it's really funny that after this, after Jesus has already said, you need to come like a child, this is what happens. Some people come to Jesus bringing him little children or babies so that he could put his hands on them. And the disciples frowned on the parents' action. They tried to discourage them. And when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And he told them, you must let little children come to me. Do not stop them. Didn't you get it the first time? It can be hard to come like a child and to stay in that, to remain with a childlike heart. He said, don't stop them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to little children like these. And I tell you that the man who will not accept the kingdom of God like a little child will never get into it at all. If you're not willing to let down some of your pride, if you're not willing to relearn some stuff, if you're not willing to give up old habits and say, God, you make all things new, and so start me off like this little child that is vulnerable, that is weak, but is willing to learn and grow. And then this beautiful moment. Jesus took the children in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. He just picks up kids and pulls them into his arms. And it seems like kids like being around him. And he would bless them. He would speak a blessing over them. And it wasn't just a nice little cute ceremony of, okay, we say I bless you. Because if you look at other things, Jesus was really involved with kids' lives. He healed ones that had this great sickness. He raised a little child from the dead. He was able to take bread and fish from one young boy and multiply it and use that to do a miracle. He cast demons out of a child. Like, Jesus, when he blesses a child, it's not just some nice little thing to get to say, but he truly did bring the kingdom of God, the heavenly qualities, and spoke those sorts of things over them. And we should be that kind as well, that we take those opportunities to speak blessing over kids, our own kids, over other people's. I'll hold David and I'll tell him about the things that I see him becoming one day. In a way, kind of prophesying good things over his life. That he will be strong in mind and heart. That he will be a man who loves God and loves people. That he'll be good at using words, but at the same time not abuse people with words, but that he'll use that as a gift. And I just take those chances to say things over him because I want to bless my child and not turn them in a wrong direction instead. Instead, let us be ones who paint pictures for our children with our words that are things that are good and noble and true and lovely and right and admirable. That we tell them the kind of stories that are stories that lead into life. Jesus in Luke 10:21 said that he was inspired with joy. He's full of joy. And he's just exclaiming, God, I thank you that you have hidden your truth from old fuddy-duddies and revealed it to children. Sometimes, if you want to learn something about God, talk to a kid. Be willing to learn what it is to be childlike. And learn what it is to like children. So your Jesus life step would be to take a child into your arms, ask the parents' permission first, most likely, just to avoid creepiness or whatever. But do that, and then speak some kind of heartfelt blessing over them. And I know that people have this like, oh, I'm not so good with kids, and they kind of scare me, and Jesus loves you. Even though people can be like, oh, well, you're a pastor. This must be easy for you. I've actually sat on the opposite side of this. I remember probably 23, 24 years old. I was going to a church in the Caribbean where I lived. I was pretty much the one white guy in the church. And they asked in the church several times, they said, we need more people to help with childcare. We need more people to do Sunday school. And I heard this over for a few weeks and just went, nah, not my thing. Nah, not my thing. And finally I went, okay. When I chose to follow Jesus, I was a teenager. So I would like getting to work with teenagers. That sounds good. I went up to one of the men who was in charge of the church and said, you've been asking for this. I'd like to work with the teenagers. Yeah, how about younger kids than that? I'd like to work with teenagers. Okay, you'll work with younger kids than that. And so they put me in this classroom with kids. I'm like, what do I do with these? I don't know. And there was another woman who was helping me in her 40s. It was a mom, had been a teacher or was currently a teacher. Like, she knew what she was doing. So I have this person who knows what they're doing watching me messing up. And I have these kids. They're just like, the big white guy. What do I do? It's a good place to start. Just learn to like kids. There was another teacher at a school, and she knew that I played guitar, and so she said, Matthew, you should come into one of my classes, and you should just teach them music. How do I do that? Oh, I don't know. You'll just figure something out. So I would go in, and we would just have music time with these little kids. I'm like, I don't know any of your little kids' songs, so I'll just make up some of my own, and hopefully the children won't, like, throw tomatoes at me or something. And we would have this time where we just start dancing, and they're listening to me play, and maybe they sang the words, maybe they didn't. I don't know what they'll remember. But just taking the time to be there with them. And I was a single guy who didn't have kids, didn't necessarily love being around kids. And I've been grateful to see one of the guys in this church that I highly respect for doing it. There's a guy named Rio. He plays guitar, Indonesian guy, leads worship sometimes. And we have needed someone to go over and play music for the kids. And so he said, okay, I'll do it. Single guy, doesn't have kids, doesn't... He just walks in and just, okay, I'll start playing. And you don't have to have some kind of special gift or some musical talent to do it. Just be willing. Maybe you have nephews and nieces. Maybe God's going to call you to be one of those people who finds a little girl in the corner on the other side of the world and take them into your home. But so often when there are people who say, it's hard to really visualize Jesus and like, I'm supposed to love him, I'm supposed to care for him, but like if he was there, I could give him a hug, but I can't really do that. Well, give a hug to a child. If you're like, oh, I'd love to give Jesus a gift, I would give him a watch or something, or I'd buy him something nice. Well, find a child to just give them a gift instead. I'd like to just go for long walks in the woods with Jesus or spend time with him or go to a museum. Well, then find a child to do that because Jesus said, you've done for a little child. You've done for me. So here's your chance. So let us be childlike in prayer. And let us be people who like children. And if you don't like children yet, learn to like them. And pray for them. Bless them. Speak well of them. That will make a bigger change in your prayer life than you would expect. As we are typically stuck as adults. We want to learn how to pray like adults pray. And Jesus said, well, start like a little kid. Start with the first word you ever learned, and then go from there. Let's pray. Daddy in heaven, thank you for my mommy and daddy. Thank you for the people who have been in my life. Thank you for the people in the church. I pray that you'd keep putting food on our tables so that we can eat tasty things. Watch over us. Help us to sleep well at nights. And show us ways that we can take care of others. We love you lots and lots. In Jesus' name, amen.